Israel will be woke up on September 23rd, I believe, because of the constellation that aligns with the prophecy, the vision of John in Revelation chapter 12. Now, this waking up of Israel is kind of like our waking up. We woke up, we became interested in the things of God, we began to search out the things of God, and then really the battle began for us. Satan would want to hurry up and get those people in a church. God's starting to wake them up, get them into an organized institutional assembly. That's what Satan wants, of course, because there we will be distracted, and all the right things of God will be buried down there, and the teachings of humanity will be substituted for them. But God, it was like the war between Michael the Archangel and the dragon. We had a similar war in our life. You might have not been aware of it. It doesn't matter. Life's circumstances are being dictated rapid fire. Satan brings something in. God brings something else in. It's a wrestling match. It doesn't have to be a wrestling match. God could squash Satan in 2 seconds, of course, but why would he squash a being that he created for this wrestling match? The wrestling match is for your benefit, so that you could go through something, so that you can learn something through the wrestling match, and you're like, I'm never going to forget that wrestling match. That's the whole point. You're never going to forget that wrestling match. It impresses it upon your life. So, now that I'm, you know, going into a detailed study of the seven ecclesias in Asia Minor, ancient, and Turkey modern, I'm thinking that this awakening is just the beginning for them, because they are going to be educated. There is going to be a 1,260-day boot camp for them, and it's called a season, seasons and half a season, which speaks of the agricultural cycle, which speaks of God feeding them and sustaining them in Turkey. And both Dr. Bullinger and A.E. Nock agree that the ecclesias in Revelation 2, described by John, are future ecclesias. There may have been some existent in the past. You could just hammer me with information saying, look, Philadelphia existed in the past. That's fine. That's fine. They're also going to exist in the future. One of those ecclesias, I can never remember which one. There was no such thing as an ecclesia in that location anciently. And so expositors, hearing that one of those ecclesias mentioned in Revelation 2, one of the seven, never existed, they said, oh, well, Revelation's bogus. It's not even inspired, shouldn't even be in the Bible, because John's too stupid to know. He's just dreaming this up, staring up at a date palm on Patmos. No. Well, joke's on you. People who would criticize John. You don't want to criticize a servant of the Lord. Definitely, you don't want to criticize an apostle of Christ. That didn't fare well for you back in the day when you did that to Peter. Try to embezzle part of the selling price of your property from the apostles. Not a good policy. You find yourself going home in a bag. That's what happened to them. The truth is that these ecclesias, these assemblies, don't get upset by the word ecclesia. It's really a transliteration of the Greek word ekklesia or ekklesia, E-K-K, out, E-K-K, E-K, I guess, E-K, the prefix in the Greek, which means out, and klesia, K-L-E-S-I-A, is called out. These people will be called out. See, an ecclesia is a people. And yes, birds of a feather do flock together. So the people will gather in a place. All Israel has done that, really. I guess in the bad name for this thing is a ghetto, right? When we have a bad connotation on ghetto that really speaks of poverty, but it's not necessarily so. I think a ghetto, just a neighborhood of people of common ancestry. So the seven ghettos of Asia Minor, modern Turkey, will be people who flock together, who are birds of a feather. And Here they will be perfected. This will be boot camp. I am now calling the seven ecclesias boot camp. It will be the beginning of the wrestling match. They will be enlightened. They will know that we're the people. We've got to go to Turkey. We feel drawn to meet with other people. And we hear, for some reason, we hear that they are in Turkey right now. And, oh, remind me, I've got to give you a little history lesson on Israel-Turkey relations, because it's very interesting. The relations are very good right now. I would watch in the news for Turkey. This is, I don't hear anybody else telling you this, but I have the inside base. We're doing inside baseball here, reading the seams on the fastball, on the curveball, and I'm thinking that this, watch this in the news. And no matter how it looks today, soon it's going to be a good place for these exiles to go, these people who are suddenly awakened as to their call. And so it will be a time for in the wilderness for 3.5 years. And I remind you, I am saying that this 1,000, this season and half a season, 1,000 or 1,260 days, and remember, days speaks of a good thing, 42 months, which is the same period of time, speaks of a bad thing, because the night is measured by the moon, the months. I believe this to be a pre-3.5 years. I see three 3.5 year periods. I know I've said this. I want to make sure you understand it. The first 3.5 year period starts on September 23rd, and it is when these Israelites, the lost 10 tribes mainly, from all over, scattered all over the world, are awakened by God. And they get this light bulb appearing over their heads. Not literally, you get the idea. And according to Revelation 12, I won't read the passage again, they flee to the wilderness. The woman is Israel, the carrier. You might say the woman is the carrier, Israel. It's the transport system, the nation. And the son is the people associated, the people who make up Israel. So Israel and the woman go hand in hand. The woman is the nation, the sons that are being birthed are the people of the nation. And I should reiterate this, I see it as a shadow government. The real Israel is still going to exist in the Middle East. You'll still be able to see that state, that little tiny state there in the Middle East. The one we recognized, the one we recognize as, that's Israel. That's, I should call it political Israel. That's political Israel. But the real Israel will be in Turkey. The real Israel will be gathered in seven ecclesias, which I've also been calling a staging ground. So get this, it's A, boot camp, and B, a staging ground. And I'm going to show it to you on a map how it could easily be a staging ground for a taking of the promised land when the trial is over. So anyway, let me tell you again, there's three 3.5 year periods. The first 3.5 year period is a boot camp in the staging ground. It is exactly 3.5 years from September, i.e. the fall of 2017 this year, to the spring of 2021, when F.H. Bader says marks the beginning of the tribulation, which makes perfect sense. The tribulation is 7 years. If you add 7 years to 2021, you get 2028, which is exactly 2,000 years from 28, when Jesus Christ was announced to Israel, baptized in the Jordan River, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he unfurls the scroll in Nazareth, reads from Isaiah, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord, i.e. a sabbatical year. I believe that is a jubilee year. That's also a sabbatical year. A sabbatical year and the jubilee years coincided every seven cycles. In other words, every 50 years there is a jubilee year. So it was a jubilee year, I believe, because Jesus Christ is announcing deliverance. He's announcing freedom. He's announcing all these things that belong to the jubilee. And it has been exactly 40 Jubilee years. That is 40 50s, 2000 from 28 to 2028. And it would also be 120 Jubilees. I told you about the number 120 2 days ago. 120 Jubilees from Adam. And the last time this constellation of Revelation 12 appeared in the sky was at the time of Adam. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. So the 3.5-year boot camp brings them. And in the meantime, they're getting instruction. Where are they getting instruction? I think Christ maybe is moving among them, but from John's letter. Do you think John is writing this letter to people who are about to go through the sacking of Jerusalem in 70 AD? That's in Jerusalem. They're way up there in Asia Minor. They're not really even going to be affected by it, except emotionally, mentally, that their people are being decimated down in Jerusalem. When I show you the map, you will see that the armies of Titus, if you're in Jerusalem, you're SOL. It's bad news in 70 AD. And I'm told that John is writing to these ecclesias about the terrible trial. But it's like they're out of the zone. It's like they're up north. You know, it's like warning somebody in Fairbanks, Alaska about the hurricane in the Caribbean. It's just, what? It doesn't really apply to them unless it's being written to churches, to ecclesias, to outcalled groups of people in the future who are in dire straits, because no matter where you are on the earth, whether you're in Turkey or Fairbanks, Alaska, this earth is going to go through incredible birth banks. Now, we know that Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul. At least I know that. Some people say, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Yes, we do. It's obvious. It's the Apostle Paul, who doesn't put his name on it because his name would kill it. His name would doom it because people were so down on the Apostle Paul. They were so Apostle Paul haters. It was called Paul derangement syndrome. And all the Jews heard Paul's name and they thought they hated him, even though Paul loved them. It's ridiculous. The Paul derangement syndrome. Same thing we have going on today with Trump. Trump derangement. Trump hate derangements. People are deranged. They have no idea why they hate Trump. They just hate him. Same with Paul. Oh, we hate Paul. We hate Paul. Paul's your friend. Paul's trying to help you. Paul's trying to bring you out of a great spiritual deficiency, and you want him to die. Anyway, Paul writes Hebrews for the Jews who he feels for. It doesn't put his name on it. Doesn't need credit for it. It's a great letter. I'd be tempted like, yeah, I wrote Hebrews, put my name on it. I don't care what happens. I wrote this. It's a great letter. No, he loves his people more than he loves his own notoriety. So he writes the book of Hebrews for those poor Israelites who had heard Jesus say, near is the kingdom. They had heard Peter say, near is the kingdom. And the kingdom gets pulled out from under them because there's a new secret administration coming that was unprophesied. And Paul was the smartest guy concerning that. Nobody knew more about the circumcision and the uncircumcision evangels than Paul. So he writes Hebrews for these people at that time who are going through this terrible thing. And this is somewhat of a comfort for Jews today because they see the pattern. They see the type and they see that, oh, yeah, okay. God is not slack concerning his promises, and it's still a letter to bolster people who are waiting. The Hebrews, the Jews, now, since that time, since Paul's evangel came to the forefront, there are people in waiting, and so Hebrews will help you. Now, likewise, the letter John writes to the seven ecclesias that he sees after having been taken to the Lord's Day. That's the main point. He's comforting them concerning not a skirmish in Jerusalem, but a worldwide cataclysm that is going to bring them into nothing less than the 1,000-year kingdom. Nothing less than that. It's phenomenal. And this is 22 chapters. 22 chapters that cap off the entire Bible. And you're telling me this is to help people get through Titus's little temper tantrum? Please. No. 22 chapters for a siege of Jerusalem when they knock down big rocks. set fires. No. You want big rocks knocked down? You want fios? All right. I'll give you walks and fios. The days of indignation. The tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble. The time that's coming upon the earth that has never been since the earth has been. What Jesus talks about in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. This is huge. It's huge. And John is writing to instruct these people, specifically in these ecclesias. All the Jews can read it, to get them through the day of indignation. Not to get through Titus's little temper tantrum, but to get through the tribulation. Okay? Now, in the closing moments of this show, let me show you a map of Turkey. Let me show you where these ancient ecclesias were and where I believe they will be. And I will show you how this is primely perched for an area of safety, really. It's going to be out of the way. It's going to be protected. They're going to be protected there, and they're going to be perched and primed to descend, come from the north. Remember that one passage? Where was that? From the north. They're going to descend from the north into Jerusalem when the tribulation is over in the, what, spring of 28? And Jesus is ready to return. Yeah, but listen, I'm not saying that these ecclesias, these people in these ecclesias are going to stay there during the tribulation. They're not sissies. They're going to be prepared, and then they're going to use that as headquarters, and they're going to witness. We have the 144,000, the vast throng. The 144,000, anyway, will be unscathed because they are sealed, and they will go through testifying. They will go through the day of indignation testifying. So they're not going to be sitting in bunkers, underground caves. They're not going to be cowering during the tribulation. They are prepared for 3.5 years so that they won't cower, so that they will be strong. They will be reminded, and we're going to go through every ecclesia, they will be reminded of Israel's past. I'm telling you, your friends who love all things Israel, they love this message to the seven ecclesias because it brings up something about Israelites' past as an object lesson. As, well, look what happened to these people. Don't be like that. Look what happened to these people. They did good. Don't be like these people. And they'll know all these references to Old Testament times, to their forefathers and foremothers. And so they'll get it. Yeah, because they're already primed for it. They're already studying it. They already love it. And so they're being prepared for the preparation. They're already in boot camp in a way because they love all things Israel. All right, I'm going to attempt to show you this map here real quick. If I can find it. No, it's not it. Hang on. All right, I'm going to turn my camera around here. Which, again, I can't see what I'm showing you. Keep that in mind. This is modern day Turkey. I will give let me zoom out first. Again, I hope you can see this. Let me zoom out and show you. These are the seven ecclesias, the orange dots. Look at this. See, you got Israel down here. And here's Greece. Here's modern day Turkey. Here's Istanbul. Formerly Constantinople. These are the seven ecclesias. This area was Asia Minor in Paul's day. Paul was here. Paul is in Greece. We know that. There's Rome over here. Paul is definitely in Rome. And here's Iraq. Here's Baghdad. This is also known as Babylon. This is where Babylon's going to be. Here's Israel. All this drama takes place in a small area here. So these are the seven ecclesias. This is what I mean by staging ground. Look, boom. They go from here to there. Boom, boom. This is Cyprus, that's where Barnabas was from. All right, now let me zoom in again and show you. I'm also going to show you a Google Earth, show you that I believe this is a wilderness area. There's some mountains here. There's some mountains here. Here's the seven ecclesias. I don't know which one's which right now, but I will show you. One, two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. I don't know them after that. Okay? I don't know Spanish. I don't want to know Spanish. I'm doing good to get English down. So, now, starting tomorrow, I'm going to give you details about these seven ecclesias. We're going to go to Dr. Bullinger's words. I think we'll go to A.E. Knox's words also and show you that there's some heavy hitters, smart people who believe that these, also with me, that these ecclesias are future. They believe with me, I believe with them. And it's just too big of a thing to be limited to the first century. And of course, modern expositors have said that these seven ecclesias represent seven church periods in the last 2,000 years. And this is a way for you as a Christian to live your life. All these things are really for you. These instructions are for you as a Christian. No, they're not. If you identify yourself as an Israelite, which most Christians do, they're wannabe Israelites, wannabe Jews. That's what they are, most Christians today. Then I suppose you could read the instructions to the seven ecclesias and say, that's for me, but it's not for you. What is for you are Paul's letters. Paul's letters are for you. Paul's letters talk about grace. Paul's letters talk about being dead in Christ, having died in Christ, entombed with Christ, that you will also be of his resurrection, and we're to live now in newness of life. There's a new creation. We skip in spirit. We skip the tribulation. We're not even going through the tribulation, folks. We're getting out of it. We're not appointed to indignation or wrath. So we're skipping ahead spiritually onto the new earth. We're a new creation. After this old earth is destroyed, that's where we are. We're in the new heavens that correspond to the new earth. When the old has been completely obliterated, like Peter said, combusted by fire, no place was found for it, shattered. So that's our expectation. So again, I told you from the get-go, I will never let you forget our expectation. But for now, we're going to look at Israel's expectation, because these are people we know. These are times we know. And the time has come so that the time can pass. A birth pang is a temporary oomph, is a temporary ouch. It leads to great, great blessing for the entire earth and for the nation Israel.